6. The Prince of Elfheim gets wet. "Come back with me to the Undersea," Nikasia whispered against Cardin's throat. They were lying on a bed of soft moss at the edge of the crooked forest. He could hear waves crashing along the shore. She was sprawled out in a robe of silver, her hair spread beneath her like a tide pool. It was a relationship they had fallen into, slipping easily from friendship to kisses with the eagerness of youth. She whispered to him about her childhood beneath the waves, about a foiled assassination that nearly ended her life, and recited poetry to him in the language of the Selkies. In turn, he told her about his brother and his mother, about the prophecy hanging over his head. The one that foretold he would be the destruction of the crown and the ruination of the throne. The one that set his father against him. He could not imagine being parted from her. "The Undersea," he murmured, turning toward her. "When my mother returns for me, come away with us," she said. "Live with me forever in the deep. We will ride sharks, and everyone will fear us."
"Yes," he agreed immediately, thrilled by the idea of abandoning Elfheim. "With pleasure."
She laughed, delighted, and pressed her mouth to his. Cardin kissed her back, feeling smug at the thought of being consort to the future queen of the Undersea, while the rest of his siblings squabbled over the blood crown. He would relish their envy. Even the prophecy that once seemed to doom him took on a new meaning. Perhaps he would destroy Elfheim one day and be a villain above the waves, but a hero beneath them. Perhaps all the hatred in his heart was good for something after all. Princess Nikasia would be his destiny, and her kingdom would be his. But as he moved to kiss her shoulder, she pushed him away with a grin. "Let's dive down into the deep," she said, springing up. "Let me show you what it will be like."
"Now?" he asked.
But she was already on her feet, wriggling out of her dress. Naked, Nikasia ran toward the waves, beckoning him. With a laugh, he kicked off his boots, following her. He liked swimming and spent hot days in a pond near the palace or bobbing in the lake of masks. Sometimes he would float, staring up at the sky and watching the drifting of the clouds. In the sea, he threw his body against the waves, daring them to drag him out with them. If he liked that, then surely he would like this better. He disrobed on the beach, the water cold on his toes as they sank in the sand. When he waded into the surf, his tail lashed unconsciously. Nikasia pressed a finger to his lips and said a few words in the language of the Undersea, a language that sounded like whale song and the screeching of gulls. Immediately, he felt a sting in his lungs, an interruption of his breath. Magic. Orla had many enemies in the Undersea, and she sent her daughter to the land not just to firm up the alliance with Elfheim, but to also keep Nikasia safe. He wondered if he should remind her of that as he let her lead him out into deeper water. But if she was determined to be daring, then he would be daring with her. Water closed over his head, making Cardin's dark curls float around him. Sunlight receded. Nikasia's hair became a banner of smoke as she dove, her body a pale flash in the water. He wanted to speak, but when he opened his mouth, water flowed in, shocking his lungs. The magic allowed him to breathe, but his chest felt heavy. And even though her enchantment protected him, he could still feel the oppressive cold and the stinging of salt in his eyes. Salt that that curbed his own magic. And darkness, all around. It didn't feel like the expansiveness of splashing through a pond. It felt like being trapped in a small room.
"Give this up, and you'll have nothing," he reminded himself.
Silver fish swam past, their bodies bright as knives. Nikasia swam lower, guiding him until he could see the lights of an undersea palace in the distance, glowing buildings of coral and shell. He saw a shape that looked like a marrow pass through a school of mackerel. He wanted to warn her, but when he opened his mouth, he found that speech was impossible. Cardan fought down panic, his thoughts scattered. What would it truly be like to be a consort to Nikasia in the undersea? He might be as inconsequential as he was in Elfheim, but even more powerless, and possibly even more despised. The weight of the sea seemed to press down on him. He no longer had a sense of up or down. One was always suspended, fighting against the current, or giving in to it. There would be no lying on beds of moss, no barbed words easily spoken, no falling down from too much wine, no dancing at all. Not even that mortal girl could leave a footprint here without it being instantly washed away. Then he spotted a glow, distant but sure. The sun. Cardan grabbed hold of Nikasia's hand and made for it, kicking his way to the surface, gasping for air he didn't need. Nikasia broke the surface a moment later, water flowing from the gills on the sides of her throat.
"Are you all right?"
He was coughing up too much water to answer.
"It will be better next time," she told him,
searching his face as though she was looking for something, something she rather obviously didn't find. Her expression fell.
"You did think it was beautiful, didn't you?"
"Unlike anything I could have imagined,"
he agreed, between breaths. Nikasia sighed, happy again. They swam toward the beach, wading onto it and gathering up their clothes. On their way back toward their homes, Cardan tried to tell himself that he could grow used to the undersea, that he would learn how to survive there, to make himself consequential, to find some pleasure. And if, as he had floated in the cold darkness, his thoughts turned to the curve of an ear, the weight of a step, a blow that was checked before it could land, that didn't matter. It meant nothing. And he should forget it.